Well, g'day and welcome back. We're on for another episode of the StoneX Australian Cattle and Beef Market Report. My name is Ripley Atkinson. I'm the Australian Meats and Livestock Manager for StoneX based in Sydney, where we're developing price risk management tools for the Australian livestock industry to help the sector manage market and price volatility with our Australian feeder cattle swap. We're brought to you by StoneX Group, a NASDAQ-listed global financial services network with 100 years of experience in global commodity markets. Remember that the trading of derivatives, such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps, may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. The markets in the past fortnight have found very much a renewed sense of optimism, considering September and October were drier than average for the vast majority of the eastern seaboard and parts of southwestern WA. But, you know, this rainfall, although it's been widespread, it has been patchy, but the rain that has fallen in the past fortnight has certainly kicked the markets into gear and sparked some renewed confidence. I think it's been a really good reminder of how much of an influence the weather has on market pricing here in Australia, and it's something that I think the past 2 months has been a really good reminder of in terms of how seasonal conditions can swing so significantly from, you know, a really wet winter to a dry September, October to and what that meant from, you know, really bullish to bearish sentiment back into bullish sentiment again. But this week we're going to have a look at the markets and what's happening currently, particularly how space bookings in both the feedlot and kill sector are disappearing at a pretty rapid rate and what that's meant for grid prices alongside the sale yard market and online market performances. The recovery in seasonal conditions of southwest Victoria and southeast South Australia and the influence, I believe, that recovery is going to have on demand from those regions for weaner cattle at these weaner sales to finish this year and start next year and the contribution they're going to make to, you know, market demand and price performance. Finally, just a quick look at exports. It's not something we necessarily discuss a lot of, but the October results were released yesterday for the monthly export numbers and results out of that, very, very promising. And obviously there's a little bit extra in there, I think, which will tell us a bit of a story and paint a bit of a narrative of, around how the end of this year is going to look for grain fed turnoff as well. I'll start with the markets though. The rain across the south of Australia this week, or in the past fortnight, I should say, has forced those southern processors back into the northern markets really, really quickly. And they're back operating at sale yards, buying cattle and operating, chasing numbers because obviously the south has had that rain and that supply has just dried up really, really swiftly. That additional competition in those northern markets has pushed the sale yard cow price, processor cow index, to a touch under $4 before Dolby's come in today and been finalised. So that index has pretty much hit a new record from its previous high. And the influence of the south and a reduction in supply, obviously aligning with that at the same time, has really pushed that price along. What I would say though is with this renewed chatter around a potential reduction in the Brazilian tariff rate to go into the US for beef, or tariff rate in general, but obviously a big influence is beef. Our US meats and livestock team are watching this unfold very closely. And I think be aware of that situation happening at the minute because the conversations are obviously occurring between Brazilians, President Lula and Trump. The outcomes of that, I think if there was a tariff reduction, will have an effect on the meat market and on obviously trim prices into the US for Australian. And when that flows back through to livestock and obviously processor cow prices here domestically, I think you're going to see the volatility of what we've seen in the cow market return in a fairly significant way. Now, that probably does mean a bit of downside at some point, like we've seen in August and April of this year, where the cow price has gotten extremely volatile. And a lot of that obviously is to do with the announcements around tariffs and then how that's flown back in a demand sense and ultimately what the price outcome has been for cows here domestically. Something to be mindful of, because we've seen it happen twice already this year, and I think if you were to get an announcement before the end of 2025, it would be a fair assumption to assume that that volatility will come back. I've been talking to a number of producers across the country, obviously as I usually do, but just the discussions I've noticed, you know, from the Western Districts of Victoria to Cloncurry, everyone's talking about how patchy the rain is. Yes, it's been widespread, and when you look at the bomb rainfall maps, they look good, but still when you talk to producers on the ground and the marketplace, and even those involved in the supply chain as well, not just producers, but feedlotters and processors and others involved in the red meat supply chain, just discussing how patchy the rain has been. I think it's something that, you know, is important to recognise. Like, yes, the rain's widespread, but, you know, there's some places that haven't really had that much and are probably still looking for a bit, in the sense of, you know, seasonal conditions are okay, but they could certainly do with a bit of rain, I think. So there's sort of two sides to that story at the minute. I think it's worth recognition as well. Angus to crossbred feeder prices, they're down 82% since late July. So those current spreads between an Angus steer over a crossbred, tightest the spread has been since February. It's a really good reminder of how seasonal this relationship in price terms is. And, you know, nearly as sure as night turns to day, we're now coming into, you know, November, early December in focus. And, you know, highly likely we'll see that price relationship narrow to less than 10 cents and near evens in the next, let's call it, 6 weeks. It's something I've been talking about for quite a long time. But, you know, with the contribution of Argus Media and their price reporting, we can now actually discuss it and analyse it and understand it and see it. And the more you become aware and accustomed to it, I think it's a good one to take note of. And lastly, to pick up on the restocker front, you know, unsurprising, really positive reaction from that part of the market following this rain, despite the fact that it has been so patchy. Its widespread nature has injected confidence, you know, from Victoria right through to far north Queensland. And I think that's been really good to see. There's obviously been some producers, and I think I mentioned this a couple of episodes ago, that have stepped into the market and bought the dip, and they've done a pretty good job there, because the restocker prices have really kicked up in the last week or 10 days on the back of this rain. But this move in the market cycle, you know, from really bullish, let's call it late August into early September, when, you know, black feeders were going to $6 and everyone was happy, and then we had 2 months of dry weather and that really turned the market quite bearish, and now we've had some rain again and the market's bullish all of a sudden. I think it does, to me, and I've thought about this a bit this week, how emotional the market still is to changes in either forecast or actual weather. In this case, it's obviously, you know, a case of looking outside and seeing whether it has rained or hasn't, but it does still show me that the market is still emotive and attached to the seasonal conditions. And obviously it's a good reminder of how significant seasonal conditions are and the role they obviously play in prices and market performance. But I think it does indicate to us how emotive the market is around season. And that, as a seller, is something you've got to be aware of, because it's a risk. And the impact that you know, bullish, bearish nature and behaviour can have at a producer level carries risk in the market if you're a seller of cattle forwards. And that's something that, again, you know, is, I've been watching for a little bit and thinking about it, and it does remind you that, you know, that emotive nature is still there despite, you know, what we had happened 2 years ago. Lastly, to wrap up on current markets, KillSpace and Feedlot, you know, space bookings have disappeared very quickly and grids have reacted accordingly to that. I think despite the fact that producers are pulling cattle back because obviously it's rained and now they're hoping they might get a better rate next week, be aware on the flip side of that is we could see, you know, a flurry and a push of numbers before the year closes out as producers want to clear the decks before, you know, obviously everyone goes on a bit of break and ends up at the coast over Christmas, et cetera. But, yeah, there's two parts to that. The grids have had to react this week because space bookings have gone, but we could see as a result of those cattle pull back, you know, some more numbers push forward the closer we get to Christmas. Southwest Victoria, Southeast South Australia. Last week, 10 days, 2 weeks, you know, it's something I've spoken on a fair bit in the last couple of months about, you know, will they, won't they rebuild, restock? You know, it was looking good and then it wasn't and now it is all of a sudden again. I think what we can see, you know, from talking to producers and the market down there, there is genuine belief that this is a recovery. Long-range weather forecasts indicate that is the truth. And I think when you picture and put all of that together, you know, those regions of the Western Districts in Victoria and you know, the Limestone Coast and southeast of South Australia can carry a lot of cattle at high stocking rates. And I think with this system and the seasonal conditions changing for these regions, we're going to see really strong demand from those areas at the 25, 26 weaner sales. And that's something to keep an eye on. I think the other one, talking on the weaner sales, is that distribution of where cattle go. And obviously this year, you know, was so heavily dominated by regions north of the border. We may see in, you know, 25, 26 sales, that distribution and movement of cattle shift a bit. And obviously the influence I think we're going to see from the Western Districts and Southeast South Australia are going to be very strong, you know, across all cattle types. I think, you know, obviously the heifers are going to be in good demand if they are of future breeder quality, but also just the demand in general for numbers. You know, they'll be looking and they'll have an itch to rebuild or restock. Now, whether that's a restock for a trade, just to get back in and get some cash flow going to start recovering the financials and the books of their business, or it is a long-term strategic play in obviously buying future breeders, time will tell. I think you will see a fair bit of demand just for volume and numbers to get some trades going to inject a bit of cash flow back into the business. But those well-bred, you know, weaners, heifers, will be in really good demand. Finally, to wrap up on the export space, the monthly October data was released yesterday. Volumes, again, very, very strong. 139,000 metric tons, second highest on record behind July, which was 150. The numbers were pretty firm on September. There wasn't a whole lot of change. But when you compare it seasonally, so against the month of October last year, numbers up by about 7%. So we're still seeing that good growth. And if you think back to last year, volumes really accelerated into the end of 2024. So it does give you an idea of how strong the export numbers are at the minute. But moving beyond that one, I've sort of watched a little bit over the past few months, and it speaks obviously a lot to the results we're seeing in grain-fed turnoff and things like that, is the grain-fed beef exports. So October data was the second highest monthly volume on record, at a touch over 41,000 metric tons. So when you compare that year on year, again, looking at it seasonally compared to October monthly data in 24, numbers were up by 27% for grain-fed exports. It equates to about an increase of 8,500 metric tons. That's fairly substantial. And we've seen, obviously, grain-fed exports grow, other than that outlier in, I think it was the month of July, where they were at their highest. But grain-fed exports generally grow across this year. My point is, I believe those the figures we're seeing at the minute for grain-fed exports are a really solid lead indicator for grain-fed cattle turnoff. And I think when we look at the Alpha MLA feedlot brief for Q4, when that data is released in February next year, you're going to see this Q4 turnoff numbers out of the feedlots. So basically grain-fed slaughter shows some really, really strong results. Something to obviously be aware of, and I don't think we should be surprised by it because of the growth in the feedlot sector, nearly to the tune of 60% or 570,000 head-on feed increase in the space of 5 years. So all of that is now coming home to roost in terms of the increased capacity in the system, and that's clearly flowing through with the export data acting as that lead indicator to show us the volume of grain-fed cattle we're processing at the minute, or did in the month of October. On a country level, what was really impressive was to see the recovery in a really strong recovery too. And it's been a bit like this since about October last year. There's been a general steady increase in exports to Japan. They're obviously a major market of ours, have been for a long time. We compete heavily with the US, and you can see that each month just there's been a steady gradual increase in trend in exports from obviously from Australia into that Japanese market. It aligns clearly quite nicely with the sustained rally you've seen in US cattle prices, which is obviously flowing through to the US beef market. Add in tariffs, which have further, inflated that market. And we're really starting to see some strong lifts in volumes to Japan. The October data, touch over 26,000 metric tons, highest export to Japan or exports month to Japan since July 2019. So really good result in a major market for us. And numbers or exports nearly lifted 20% on the September data. What does that all mean? Grain-fed exports really strong. Well, that's telling us obviously heightened grain-fed turnoff. Naturally, the bigger volumes collectively, grass and grain at 139,000 metric tons, obviously also very positive. And Japan steadily increasing its exports. I think what this shows is the capacity of us as Australia to recompete and take away some of that market share we've lost to the US. We're obviously seeing that clearly in Japan at the minute. It's a little bit the same with South Korea, although the October volumes for South Korea, our exports to South Korea fell a bit. But what this means at the minute is we are, competing back some of that market share we've lost to the US over our cycle, 20 to 22. I think that's a really good thing. Now that we're starting to compete that back in these really key markets, you're seeing it across some of the emerging markets as well. Southeast Asia is a great example, and those collective group of countries starting to send more product in there, Taiwan, Thailand, Malaysia, Philippines. We compete with the US in those markets, but what this does do for us in when we think forwards about what it means is we are taking some of that market share back, and obviously importantly, it puts us in a really good competitive advantage. As the US herd cycle, continues to mature in the sense of running out of cattle and not having that availability of supply, and when beef production does begin to really shorten up in the US, it puts us in a great spot, and it puts us in the box seat to take control of that situation and really capture that opportunity and the interest for product and for us to develop more relationships with, import customers in those markets and extend a bit of our reach into other places we might not have operated in as much before. That's all for this week. A fair bit on as usual, but finding it really interesting and looking forward to seeing how the last sort of 6 or 7 weeks of this year wraps up. I'm sure there'll be plenty to come between now and then. But if today's episode or any others have raised any questions, make sure to get in touch with me. Send me an email to ripley.atkinson@stonex.com or record a voice memo of yourself on your phone, where you're from and the question, I'll get to answering it in the next episode. I've had a couple of really good ones from Sam in central New South Wales who I want to get to answering around basis spreads on different cattle types and something about the herd size. I'll get to those over the next 2 to 3 episodes before we wrap up for this year. Feel free to share this episode or any others with your mates or other people you know. It helps get this podcast name and this in the hands of other people and helps people become aware of what we do. So as I always say, the more people that get access to this, the better. So feel free to pass it on. Other than that, thank you for listening. Take care, look after yourselves, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.